Good morning. Amen. I'm so glad to be here before you guys today. I'll be asking you guys a lot of questions today. Have you ever been discontent? Have you been discontent? Why were you discontent? What did you do when you were discontent? Did you complain? Did you murmur? What did you think you needed? I'll ask you guys again, what did you think you needed when you were discontent? What did you think you needed? Is Christ enough? Is Christ enough? That's the question. I'm so excited to be here today to share God's word with you all in truth and love. And I stand here today knowing that every word that comes from my mouth, I will be held accountable for. So I just pray that you guys would pray as I'm preaching. And I just pray that you all just walk with me as we go through God's word together. It's my prayer today that we see God's, his truth, his love, and his promises. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for this moment in time that I get to declare the word of the Lord to the found and to the lost, and in the hopes of the found be lost and the found hope grow the lost. Father, please allow your servant to be heard by all who may hear this message. It is my prayer that today we will know the secret of being content is Christ. May we trust and know and rest in Christ alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I'll be preaching from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 to 14. And the context of chapter 4 is Paul, people, and situations. We see it's prayer, encouragement. Christ is telling the church to live in hope only in Christ. Paul shows the church how to live through difficult times, as well to see God's provision in those difficult times. Walk with me as we unpack the secret of being content. Christ is the answer to being content. Before we go into chapter 4, I want you to see what transpired in the first three chapters. Paul is preaching to the church, telling them to be thankful in prayer and thanksgiving and to live as Christ, even though it will be suffering. In chapter 2, we see the unity of the church. We see Paul telling the church to be light bearers, to be image bearers, to declare the gospel no matter what. In chapter 3, we see Christ again reminding us that our heavenly citizenship is where we belong. It's not here on earth. So let's not get caught up in the things of the earth. In chapter 4, I have 8 secrets from today's passage that I will talk to you about. Secret number 1, celebration in Christ. Secret number 2, communion in Christ. Secret number 3, condition in Christ. Secret number 4, capacity in Christ. Secret number 5, consistent in Christ. Secret number 6, covenant in Christ. Secret number 7, competence in Christ. And secret number 8, commitment in Christ. These are the secrets that I will be sharing with you from this today's passage in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 10. And it reads, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well." Secret number 1, celebration in Christ. Have you ever been part of a celebration? What did you do? How did you feel when you were part of that celebration? Did you tell everyone? Did you invite people to come to the celebration to partake in? I've been a preschool teacher for the last 8 years, and it has been a blessing. And each and every time there's a birthday in Mr. Jordan's class, the kids are excited. They're like huddling around, like, who's going to bring the cookies? Who's bringing the cake? Everyone has the job to do. And no one cares whose birthday it is. They just are excited to be a part of the celebration. And that's what we see here in verse 10 that Paul is saying to the church. He says, but I rejoice. This rejoicing that Paul has is not a boasting in himself. It's pointing to Christ. The but here in verse 10, but is an expression, is a preposition of, is without lack. Paul is not lacking anything when he says, but I rejoice. This is the choosing. This is his heart attitude towards Christ. He is rejoicing that he is in Christ. How many of you are rejoicing that we are in Christ? We are in the one who saved us from our sin, from his wrath. Rejoicing is a continued celebration, not just for Paul, but also for us. This letter that Paul writes to the Philippians is not just for them, but it's for us now. It is for us now. This rejoicing in the book of Philippians, verse 10, it screams our theme for the year, showing and telling. Paul is not just showing the church or telling the church, follow these commands. He is living them. And though he is in prison in this book of Philippians, he's in prison. He's writing to them. And I don't know how many people will be excited to be in jail and saying, yeah, I rejoice. But Paul is in prison writing to the church, telling them that I rejoice in Christ alone. Paul is not faking it till he make it. He's not saving face. He's not pretending to act a certain way to just, you know, hide emotion or blowing smoke. But this is his heart. And I know from experiencing something like this, going through a tough time in 2020 and 2021, my wife and I had two miscarriages back to back. And those days were hard. And we have brothers and sisters in Christ and our family walking through with us every moment of the way. And they told us, we don't have to save face. We don't have to pretend that everything is going good. That's not what Paul is saying, pretending. And at that moment, I saw God's faithfulness. That I can rejoice, number one, that I would be with Christ when it's all said and done. And number two, I'll see my kids again one day. But I can rejoice. And that is walking with Christ. That's what it is. Psalms 92, verse 4 says, for you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. See, it's a work of God. If we look at verse 10, and Paul says, he's talking about the Christ, the only one who gives joy and peace to us. Jesus the Christ. Christ gives joy to all who are his freely. Freely, Christ gives us all joy. Matthew 6:33 declares, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else should be established to you. Are we seeking Christ? Is that our heart's desire to rejoice in the Lord, to please the Lord? The question that we all have to ask ourselves is, if we're not content, why? Is there any sin in your life that is keeping you back from being in fellowship with Christ? Is there anything that is entangling you? Lay it all aside. Repent and come to Christ. Come to Christ. When we see the word Lord in verse 10, we see Christ's power, his authority. We see his dominion. In John 1:1, he's Lord over creation. In Matthew 8:26, he's Lord over nature. He tells the winds and the seas to obey. What a God we serve. Matthew and 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify him as Lord in your heart. That's what Paul is showing to the church. He's setting Christ aside. Christ is the only thing that matters to Paul. And to preach the gospel and to be in fellowship with one another. John 6:29, Jesus answered him and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. This is the work of God. The rejoicing that Paul has, that's because God was working in his heart. He's not pretending. Ephesians 1:22, our Lord has put all things in subjection under his feet, and in him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who is all in all. We see Christ's power and his authority. Our rejoicing is not based on situations. I pray that we aren't rejoicing because we have a lot of money or because we have a big family. I pray that's not what our heart is. during this COVID time, it was so much going on. And people thought we couldn't rejoice, but there's so much to rejoice about. There's so much. Amen. As Christ, is he Lord? And if he's not, you can cry out today. The miracle is for you. Cry out to God. Cry out to God. We, as a church, cannot allow anything to hinder our walk with Christ. Anything. Anything. Lay it all before him. And we see secret number one. It's the celebration. Walk with me as we go into secret number two, which is communion. Have you ever been a part of anything? You wanted to be a part of it, but something was hindering you. Did you let it stop you? We see in verse 10b, we see that Paul says, now at last you have revived your concern for me. You were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Do you see? Paul is writing to the church saying, you lacked opportunity to be with me. Did he hold it against them? No, he did not. But instead, he still invited them into fellowship. That's what Christ said in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Is that not communion? In verse 10, the church wanted to be with Paul. That's the koinonia, the family of God. Christians in fellowship. That's what the church wanted to do. They wanted to be with Paul. Revive, when we see in verse 10b, when Paul uses the word revive, I think of something that loses consciousness, something that is not alive, but somehow God reunited Paul and the church again together. And that encouraged Paul. Don't allow anything to stop your fellowship, to be with your brothers. If you don't like communion with brothers and sisters, check your heart. You should want to be in fellowship with Christians. Being by yourself and you call yourself a Christian and you're an idol, that just gives room for the enemy to sift you out. You need to be in fellowship. That is the command. That is the command. We should always, as Christians, be ready and be fluent. Always, always. Jesus says the two greatest commandments is to love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is communion. That's fellowship. That's what the church is doing with Paul. That's what Paul is doing with the church. They're communion. Even though they're not together physically, they're still fellowship. Even though we weren't allowed to go into India 2 years ago, did we stop? We could say, you know what? We're going to put a fork in the road here. We're not going any further. But our elder team and the prayers of the church, the prayers of the righteous, they availed. We still connected with India and Uganda, and in spite of COVID, in spite of we can't go into the country, nothing will hinder us, and nothing will hinder us for those whose hearts and minds are set on the glory of God. Amen. In Philippians 2:4, it says, do not look at your own interests, but in the interests of others. That looks like a life surrendered to Christ. We're not looking at what's in it for us. There's no selfish gain when you are a follower of Christ and a witness to his glory. We are ambassadors to the King of glory. We are. Amen. Amen. We see in the first two secrets, we have celebration in Christ and communion in Christ. Our third secret is condition in Christ. And I read from verse 11. It says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. There's the condition of you being matter. What has to happen for you to feel like you're in your groove? Does the sun have to be shining bright? Do you have to get your coffee in the morning? Like, what is the condition? What are the conditions? If we see here in verse 11, we see Paul is not, he's saying that I don't need to want. I have Christ. That's his condition. That's his position. In Christ, he is content. He is content. Paul is making it clear. I'm not speaking from want. He makes it known to the church. I am not speaking from want. I'm not. We look at Matthew 6:9. We see Pastor Charlie preached this sermon a few months back, and we see in the Lord's Prayer, he said, you are my daily bread, Lord. That's what Paul is saying here. This is what it shows, that Christ is his only hope for that day. He gives us for what we meet moment by moment, trusting him. Paul is satisfied. we as Christians have to be satisfied too with what God gives us. Some he gives a lot, some he gives a little. But all in all, it's for the glory of God. It's all in all, it's for the glory of God. If you look at verse 11, he says, I have learned the experiences they teach us. It's okay for us to show each other our scars, to show each other our shortcomings and fallings so that we can help better walk with someone. If we're hiding our scars all the time and putting up a facade like we're perfect, that's not fellowship. That's not loving. That's not loving your brother. That's not loving your neighbor. Amen. If we look in verse 11, we see the word be. Be is not confused for being lazy. Paul is not being lazy in verse 10. He said, I learned to be content. It's not, hey God, you know, whatever your will is going to happen, whether I pray or not. That's not the heart of a Christian. That's not the heart of the heart of a believer who says they love God or love their brother. It's not. Amen. Christ is worth living for. He's worth living for. John 1:41, Simon runs and says, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. We as Christians, we have found the Messiah. Well, he founded us, and therefore we go and tell, right? So I just pray that we, as a church, as brothers and sisters, we don't find ourselves in want, but we be content in what God has said and what God has done. God is faithful to fulfill his promises. Let him do the sanctifying work in your hearts to walk and to grow with him. And we see in verse 11, be, which sounds so easy to do when we read it, just be yourself. But sometimes it is hard, and it's hard when we don't trust God, right? So if you have a problem just being yourself, just cry out to God. I do it all the time, you know. Cry out to God, he hears us. You know, we've seen the first three secrets. We have celebration in Christ, communion, unconditioned in Christ. We move to secret number four, which is consistent in Christ. Being faithfully fluid, right? Verse 12 reads, I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. Both of having abundance and suffering need. Do we see the consistency here? Like 1 + 1 = 2. I'm no math expert at all, I tell you that. All right? When you start throwing A and B in the equation, I'm lost. But I know 1 + 1 = 2. That will never change. Just like Christ's word will never change. Amen? If we see in verse 12 here, that Paul, he puts on humility. I know how to get along with humble means. If you read 2 Corinthians 4:7, verse 8, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will of God, not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. So the life of Jesus also may be manifested in your mortal body. See, when Paul mentioned prosperity, it's not what we see today in many of our churches. It's not the name we then claim it type of prosperity. Like, oh, I decree and declare a new car or a new house. That's not what Paul, his prosperity is not in materialism. It's in Christ. He knows that whatever he gets, it's God's providence. It's God's providence. Amen. Paul was given grace, looking at his circumstances. And we read all throughout the Gospels, Acts, Ephesians, Corinthians, we see Paul's life is no cakewalk at all. He's going through some hardships. He's going through so much. But the suffering, it shapes Paul. In Philippians 1, verse 29, it says that we must suffer. He said, it's good that we believe, but we must suffer for the sake of Christ. We must. We read Philippians 2:5. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. That's the condition. Even though someone may have walked out in your life, you may have lost your job, all of this stuff is happening in your life, but we need to have this mind that Christ has. the joy that was set before him, right? That's what the Bible tells us. It was the joy set before him to please the Father. That should be our joy. That's what Christ, take this. Christ gives us abundance of gifts, salvation, joy, peace through it all. And, has, and him giving us that, that sets our condition. It sets our condition. Secret number five, capacity in Christ. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Probably one of the most quoted scriptures that everyone knows, right? If you ask someone, what scripture do you know in the Bible? They either say John 3:16, or I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, which is true. But do you know your capacity? When you get on the elevator, I don't know if you ever read the sign, but it says capacity level 2,000 or sometimes 2,500, depending on the size of the building that you're in. Do you know your capacity? What is your capacity? Like, what are the signs to show you, oh, this is it, I'm getting ready to combust, this is it, I can't go any further? I can tell you, I doubt a lot of us are even scratching the surface of our capacity in Christ. And I'd be the first to tell you, there is no capacity in Christ. None. He is everlasting to everlasting. Paul, when he writes in verse 13, through Christ, Paul is able to do these things because of Christ, not because of him, not because he's an apostle, not because he was one of the chosen 12 by God. He can do all things because it is Christ who gives him strength. This do in verse 13 is not a performance. It's not, look at me, look what I've done for Christ. I have done a lot, or I have done a little, but it's all because of God's ability. I believe in that I can do all things through Christ is walking the narrow road. It's trusting. It's obeying. It's looking to Christ. It's looking to Christ. If we see the word all in verse 13, it's consuming. Christ has done this. Christ has done this. That's what Paul's saying. I can do all things because of Christ. We see things that Paul writes, all things hard, all things good. We know the story about Paul, shipwrecked, made it to the shore in broken pieces, imprisoned, stoned 3 times, beaten and naked. All those things he done in Christ for the glory of God. I know a lot of us, you know, we haven't been beaten or stoned or anything. And maybe one day it may come, we don't know. But I know that if it does, if we're trusting and hoping in Christ, we can do all these things too. Every day we do hard things. You know, we have to confront people who may be opposed of the cross, but we have to. God sends us there to those tough places. Are you trusting in Christ to do all these things, to declare to them the truth, even no matter what? When we say I, it's not entitlement. Paul is not entitled because I'm an apostle. He doesn't hold his position over the church. But he's showing and telling, I can do all these things because of Christ. I can do. It's not prideful. It's not prideful. It's not even fruitful to have pride. The Spirit of the Lord says what? That we must produce fruit if we're disciples, right? Paul is producing fruit straight from the prison. He is being straight from the prison. And you can produce fruit as well right where you are, at your job, at your home, with your family, with your neighbors, in the grocery store. Just be. All these things we can do in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. See, we will give an account one day. What are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our talents? Is it done for Christ? Is it done for Christ? James 1:12 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind. That's the mind of Christ. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm just like, Lord, when I read that, I'm like, Lord, you have to help me, because I don't know if I'm rejoicing if I'm getting beat on. You know, I could tell you, my preschoolers, they love, I don't know what it is, they love to fight me. Like, they, like a power-up charge, then they attack, and I'm just, I don't get it. I'm like, that's not enjoyable for me. But, and I know the beatings that Paul received, and the church received, or even our brothers and sisters who are in in places right now. Our brothers and sisters in India who are being persecuted, houses being burned, being forced to sleep in the jungle where tigers are there. I pray that they're counting it all joy for the sake of Christ. And I pray that we have that same mind too, that we count it all joy. Walk with me. Secret number 6, covenant in Christ. Through him who gives me strength. Verse 13b, covenant. Have you ever been promised something? Do you remember your parents promising you something and you could not wait to receive it? And then if they didn't come through, you would feel some type of way, like you lied. But we know that God keeps his promises. He keeps his covenant. In Genesis 9:11, he says, well, I will never flood the earth again. I will establish my covenant with you. And all flesh shall never be cut off by the water of the flood. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. Look at this covenant, Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I remember first reading that verse when I first started to be drawn by God. That encouraged me that to know if I call out, God will save me. That's a covenant. God keeps his covenant. He loves covenants. He's a covenant-keeping God. He doesn't break any of them. Paul is saying through Christ, he can do all things, right? He knows that Christ is holding it all together. He makes all things possible. He makes all things possible. The who in verse 13, it acts alone as God's power. Who can do this? Only God can do this, right? He does the impossible. The strength that Paul is proclaiming to the church is Christ's strength. He does this when we are weak. I am weak even now, but Christ is strong. Christ is strong. I could do nothing outside of Christ. None of us, anything that we see or anything that we do, it's because of Christ. Anything good, it's because of Christ, not because of us. John 10:9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the only way. I am the only way. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is. Christ has all power and all authority. Amen. 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 Paul is encouraging the brothers and sisters to look to Christ because he gives strength. Is that not God's provision? His strength to get through tough times? It is. Philippians 1:6, he who began a work in you will finish into the day of Jesus Christ. I love that promise. I can stand on that. I can run with that. You can take that promise right to the bank. If you are in Christ, Philippians 1:6 says it. He who began a work in you. See, it wasn't even you who started the work. It was Christ. And he will finish it into the day of Jesus Christ. I love that promise. I love it. The promise he makes us. Even in 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says what? Therefore I am in content and weak with weakness, with insults and with distress, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, he is strong. See, even that. Paul knows the covenant. I pray that we too know his promise. It's his covenant for us. That same promise that Paul writes over 2,000 years ago is for us today. It's the same today. In our weakness, in our insults, with our distress, in our persecution, in our difficulties, for Christ's sake, when we are weak, he is strong. When we are weak, Christ is exalted high. High. Ephesians 2. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in beforehand so that we will walk in them. See, do you know who you are in Christ? And if you don't know who you are in Christ, I pray that you will cry out today, even now, and ask God to capture your heart by his miraculous grace. I pray. Walk with me. Secret number 7, knowing your power. I can do all things through Christ. Have you ever received an inheritance? Let's say you received the inheritance of money. right? The money doesn't give you the power, but what the money does for you, it gives you options. You can do different things when you have money, right? And that's what Paul is saying here. He is saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He know his power. He know who it is who gives him strength. When you know who it is who gives you power, which is Christ, you can boast in that. Like I said, when I'm weak, I am strong because of Christ. If we see in verse 13, see how Paul, he demonstrates to the church to walk with Christ because he gives strength. He gives strength. Paul is showing us how to live as Christians. Though this letter is well over 2,000 years, it's still for today. It still works. The word of God still is for us today. It demonstrates his power. It demonstrates his dominion. Paul is showing us how to live. We have to know our power. We have to know our power. We have to walk upright before God. You know, every day. John Piper says we have to fight for joy. And when he first said that, I was like, what do you mean, fight for joy? I thought it was just given, but every day you have so many things that can hinder you or try to stop you from rejoicing in the Lord and walking up with him, right? And God's sovereignty. We see the Lord is allowing all of these things, good and bad, to happen. All of them. Even in our lives today. Even our lives today. Even the two miscarriages, it hurts. But I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. I could walk still, right? I can help someone else walk through it. I can help my wife, she's helping me walk through all these things because Christ gives us strength. We know that it's not in our power. It's not in your power. Just be. Knowing your power. We know that God gives power. We know he reveals his power, right? We see the miracles that he's done to show that he was God. We see it. John 5:39, he revealed himself to them. Acts 19:15, I love this. The evil spirit answered and said to them, I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them and subdued all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. See, those that were performing to cast out that demon, they didn't have fellowship with Christ. They didn't have union with Christ. So therefore, they couldn't use Christ's name to cast out. They didn't have the power. I'm not saying to go around and try to cast demons out. That's not what I'm saying. But we see here that you have to be in fellowship. Christ's power is relational. You have to be in Christ to know his power. You have to. It's the only way. Outside of that, your good is dead, right? These performing to cast out the demon did not have fellowship with Christ. So we must know our power. We must know it. Walk with me. Secret number 8. Commitment in Christ. Verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. What does their commitment look like? What does it look like? Are you all in? Is it the pedal to the metal? Like, I watch all of us here at our church, just how God is working in your commitment to different things. And I know I've seen commitment in my dear brothers. But Pastor Charlie, when I first met him, he said to me, hey, brother, if you ever need to talk, I'm just a phone call away, or you need to ride, I'm 30 minutes away. And I thought he just was talking because I heard that before from many Christians. Oh, call me if you need me. But it was true. When I was coming through the cross, man, they were with us like every other day, walking us through. The commitment was there. I saw their hearts in it. That encouraged us to know it's real Christians out here. These are real Christians walking with us, walking through real life, trials and really walking us through the gospel with no hidden agenda. They just wanted us to know, what is your commitment to Christ? What is it? Do you really want to glorify him with your life? Is he really Lord of your life? Are you really putting your hands to the plow? Right? Are we? Let's look at the word nevertheless. It means without standing, without withstanding, and it's not misleading. I remember, if we go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says that to the Father when he knows he's getting ready to go to the cross and die. He says, nevertheless, not my will. Nevertheless. That's the same thing Paul is saying to the church in verse 14. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. The church has proved themselves. They are entering into Paul's suffering with him. They knew all about him. They knew everything that he went to. And they could have like, you know what? He's not any really benefit to us, guys. He has a lot of trouble follows him. But no, they said, we're committed. We see God working. We are committed to him. Same thing with Christ in the garden. He was committed. He saw the joy set before him to please the Father. That should be our aim. We should have a nevertheless attitude. I just pray that right now, Father, that you will give all of us a nevertheless attitude. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what. If we see in Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Experience the same conflict which you saw in me and here to be in me. See the entering in, that commitment. We see in verse 14, you have done well. They have showed themselves approved. They have showed themselves approved. Have you guys done that? By trusting Christ, you have done well. Have you entered in with the brother or sister in their suffering? Did you want to? If you didn't, why? I know sometimes for me, when I first came to the bridge and I saw people go through different things, I didn't even know how to do it, like how to enter into someone's suffering. Even with my wife, going through all she went through, I couldn't understand her pain. I couldn't understand some days she would be happy, then some days she would be sad. I didn't understand. I asked God to help me to enter into her suffering, and I asked her, Sierra, why are you weeping? And she said, you know, Jordan, each time each month goes past, I think about which stage I would be in the pregnancy. And then God allowed me to see her pain. He allowed me to see her pain and her suffering. I didn't see that before. I tried to even encourage us to put like, come on, Sierra, get up and fight. But that's not the way we enter into people's suffering. Everyone does not handle situations the same way. When you're entering into someone suffering with them, ask Christ to help you to truly understand. We see in verse 14, he says, share is my affliction. All of Paul's grief and pain and his calamity, the church embraced, right? They grabbed hold of it too. And I pray that we do that for one another. I pray that in the commitment, there's no self-preservation. Again, you don't hold back, you don't preserve. We exhaust everything. We exhaust everything. I just pray that God would just give us an attitude that we just throw our hands up and say, God, whatever you say, whatever your will is. And that is a bit kind of scary to even say, God, whatever you, because we don't know sometimes. But we can, like I said, we can have this promise and hope that we know that he is working for us, right? It's for his glory. God said, no good thing would I keep from you. I know the thoughts I have for you. Jeremiah 29. I know, right? If we look in Luke 9, verse 62, he says, whoever puts his hand to the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom. Can you imagine? You know, in that day when the Lord comes and he tells you you weren't fit, let us plow. Let us plow. We are fit for the kingdom because what Christ has done, he has called us, those who are his. So we are fit. He has made us fit for the kingdom. Right? The commitment is not checking the boxes. It's not, oh, I showed up to church on Sunday. I showed the group. I showed up to Bible study. I paid my tithe. I went to go see the sick. No. The commitment is a heart. It comes down to, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want to glorify God? Do you want to love your neighbor as you love yourself? Like, what is it that you want to do? What are you committed to? We as Christians, we cannot do the bare minimum. We all know what the bare minimum looks like in our lives. Even coach knows what the bare minimum looks like from his players. And I know he wouldn't take it. That's the same thing for God. He knows we can give more. Let exhaust the day. In the Psalm, David said, I will not give my eyes rest. See the commitment? Until he has done what the Lord has commanded him to do. May that be our heart. May that be our heart to do that. To be committed. To fight. Remember, Pastor Jeff always says to us, what are we, rhinos? 6 tons and we run 30 miles per hour. And whatever is in front of us, we're knocking it out of the way, right? We as Christians are on the offense every day. Every day. We dress ourselves in the armor of God. If you notice that in the armor, there's nothing to protect the back. Maybe because Christians, we don't retreat. I don't know any army who retreats. They all go with one goal in mind, is to win, right? We as Christians, we fight from victory. God has given the victory, and that's where we fight from. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. When Jesus hung on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. It is finished. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to add to it or take away. We don't have to make a facade. We don't have to dress it up to make it look nice. It's already finished. Christ has already given us the blueprint. I pray this is our commitment. Today, I've given you 8 secrets from today's passage in the book of Philippians. Secret number 1, condition in Christ. Secret number 2, communion in Christ. Secret number 3, condition in Christ. Secret number 4, consistent in Christ. Secret number 5, capacity in Christ. Secret number 6, covenant in Christ. Secret number 7, competence in Christ. And secret number 8, commitment. Commitment in Christ. I pray that today that you guys see that Christ is the only answer. The only answer. Not Mary, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Confucius, and none of them. If you ask where all of them, they're dead in a grave, but our Christ has risen. He has risen from the grave. Our God, right? He is the only answer. Jesus said that I am the way. I am the truth. I am the bread that come down from heaven. I am. So we know that Christ is the only thing that makes us content. Not your 401k, okay? Right? Not your marriage, not your kids. None of it. That does not define who you are. That does not make you content. Only what Christ does, it will. That's the only thing. When you know Christ, he gives you rest, peace, and hope. Do you know who the secret is? Do you know who the secret is for? It's for all those who cry out in faith, with repentance. That's who it's for. We said it this morning at 9 o'clock. The gospel is an invitation for all to come. It's for all to come. I pray. Lord, I just pray that anyone who do not know you, Lord, and you're tugging at their heart, I pray that they come. Total surrender. Total surrender. If we read John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world, we all know this, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Do you see that? Do you see it? Even Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. no other name. It is Christ. He makes us content in all things and for all things. Right? So it's my prayer, right? I'm praying that you'll be encouraged, that you live in hope in Christ. For this, in the chapter 4 of Philippians, that's the life of a Christian captured by grace, right? Do we live this life perfectly? No. I know everyone battles for who the chief sinner is. I think it's me, honestly. Other people say it's them. But do we live this life perfectly? No, but passionately for Christ. That's who we live for. Passionately, right? And it's God's good pleasure to see his church and his people prosper, right? To glorify him no matter what, in all things, in illnesses and diseases, all these things. Wanted to share just how the contentment was a witness to me and our dear sister Rebel and Marie. During Rebel's radiation and chemo, I sat and watched her praise and worship her God, right? She could have stayed home and not came, but she worshiped. And I sat in the back and wept because I was like, God, am I missing it? She didn't make any excuse at all. Our dear sister Marie, the same thing. She was worshiping her God. You know why? Because they knew who Christ is. He showed mighty and strong in their life. They witnessed to me They witnessed to me. Amen. The secret is out. I have made it known to all of you that Christ is the answer to making us content in all things. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you today that I have said all that you have commanded me to say. And Lord, I thank you that the word did not fall on deaf ears. For you said that your word will never return to you void, but you see that it performs that very thing you said. And Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you right now for all you have done. And I pray that we as Christians not only know the secret, but display the secret in our witness and in our life for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Everywhere we go,
to keep, our hearts are yours to see. Oh, our Father, be exalted. You're merciful and kind, faithful, good, and wise. Oh, our Father, be exalted. Our lives are yours to keep, our hearts are yours to seek. Oh, our Father, be exalted.
My God, you're good always. Your love is Cause there is a reason why you placed me on this earth. Whatever it takes, whatever you ask, let your will come to pass. Let it be done to me according to your words. Let it be done to me according to your words.
Sing, I know you're good. One more time.
I know you're good always. Yes. My God, you're good always. Your love is good always. And you're not letting go.
We thank you, God.
I know you're good always. My God, you're good always. Your love is good always. And you're not letting go.
Stay the same, my rock, you're everything I'll ever need. You're ever near, so present here, my help, you're King over all, and I know who you are. Yes, I proclaim I know who you are, God.
Oh, you'll be my strength, you'll be my peace. Oh, my God.
King over all, and I know who you are. So come hell or high water, you're still on the throne. You are faithful and able, you're in control. There's no question about it. You're king over all, and I know who you are.
Your mercy, goodness,
I have this confidence.
Oh, awesome and mighty,
I have this confidence.
Hey, I know who you are.
Defender, healer, you are my confidence. Protector, shepherd, you are my confidence. Jesus, Savior, you are my King over all, and I know who you are. So come hell or high water, you're still on the throne. You are faithful and able, you're in control. There's no question about it. You're king over all.